again. Welcome back, friends and well-wishers, to the Retrocade Podcast, episode 49. It's Phil and
Sean.
Yeah, good to be back. Great to be back. We're having a grand old time here, aren't we, Sean?
We had quite some technical difficulties.
Oh, we had quite a few technical difficulties, but nonetheless, we are here, and we are...
We're here. Ready. Well, ever be.
Well, the whole studio almost got destroyed before we started this.
In a sinkhole. This whole table
got destroyed. All of the valuables.
Beers, coffee.
You think, like, all of these collectibles were on the ground just getting destroyed.
Wires and tangles.
Wires, and then, of course, like, a full coffee, and, like a 30-ounce coffee, and, like, a pint of beer, and the whole place was
flying.
A disaster. Yeah. So, thank God, like, some of the higher-end collectibles that we have on the table weren't destroyed.
We had to throw out some Pokemon cards.
Yeah, first-edition Pokemon cards that we had
that was more of the casualties.
Yeah, but, that was definitely one of the casualties, the high-end Pokemon. Because some were first-edition.
We had to figure, you know, some of the wires got a little banged up, but
the USB cable got all shungad.
Here we are.
So,
got a lot of topics to discuss. We'll keep it short and sweet.
A lot of topics.
So we can start.
Where could we start?
We can start with the most relevant kind of word on the street was the whole GameStop movement.
Oh, GameStop movement. Can't forget about an important thing like GameStop.
And just the kind of emergence of expert stockbrokers on Facebook.
Oh, well, who isn't a stockbroker in 2021?
We won't mention specific names, but...
We should.
We have people that are like, bro, you should just stick to watching Yankee games. I don't need to hear your stock tips.
Everybody was a stockbroker on the internet for like a week and a half, right? At least that week, right?
It went from being like political,
Yeah, it was political hell for the first week of January or the first few weeks of January.
Then
it went to stonks with Reddit and GameStop.
And they say,
and
to
AMC.
The moon!
Everybody was to the moon, you know.
To the moon of you losing all your money.
Yeah, you know. It's going to 400. It's going to 1,000.
It's going to 1,000, bro. Yeah. I'm buying shiz, Robin Hood.
The irony was that, like, that week I ended up buying more shit from GameStop, like, for no reason. I was just like, oh, look, their website. They got, like, cheap Pokemon toys, Star Wars toys and stuff.
Like, oh, this is cool.
I went into the store and bought something, and it was coincidental, or maybe, I guess, because of it. It was in my mind. But actually, their website is fairly cheap for Star Wars figures sometimes. They have deals and stuff.
I peruse GameStop. I like the brick and mortar.
I went in the one in the mall, and I bought what's it called? The Jedi Fallen Order. And I've yet to play it.
I'm still playing Cyberpunk.
How is Cyberpunk?
I love it. Yeah. I play casual. I play five hours.
Assuming you're not playing it on the PS5.
PS4, no.
Oh yeah.
I'll get a PS5 probably 2 years from now.
Sure. Who wants to pay $800-$900?
Yeah, stock gurus left and right.
Oh yeah, everybody was a broker
stocks,
and an analyst.
AMC,
BlackBerry. Our good friend of the cast, Steve, bought BlackBerry. He bought it at a solid $20 a share, and
eight days after he should have bought it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously,
so
yeah.
What's BlackBerry trading at now?
It's probably $11 a share or something like that. Let's take a gander.
Right,
so he only
lost half of his investment.
He only lost half his money.
Good.
That's not bad, right?
But him, like, doing...
It is 13 a share.
Him buying meme stocks that he's nothing about to fit in.
It's just because everyone's... It's like...
It was the hot topic.
You just like to be trendy, right? I didn't get into... Like, people were asking me because, like, I fool around with stocks. And people were like, yo, did you buy GME? And I was like, no, I'm not going anywhere near any of the meme stops. Meme stocks. Of course, you could make a buck, but it's like you're just gambling.
So funny story, John and Bernie told me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say a friend of the cast, but friends of the cast.
Friend of the cast.
Gary's cousin owned like 200 shares at $12 a game and sold it in like November because he's like, I'm done lowering this money. But he had about 200 shares at $12 a share he bought them at.
I should have held till 300 a share.
You would have made a nice fucking
Who
chunk.
Would be holding it though at $12? Like, because it was the company was so weak. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's I wouldn't have been holding that at all. But if you were somebody who had it like last April when it was like at $3 a share or $8
a
share,
400,
yeah, almost 400,
fucking killing.
Sure.
But that's the thing. You gotta be on the wave before the wave even hits.
Oh, well, of course. Once it's people are talking about it like publicly,
when
like
your mother is asking you about GameStop stock.
I heard about this GameStop.
It's too late.
Should I buy into this GameStop?
What's GameStop?
Stonk. What's this GameStop? Oh, it's good. Buy in. Yeah, that is your long bond.
It's funny because you're going to look 20 years from now, there's going to be like economic textbooks in college.
Yeah, this will be mentioned. Yeah.
This is a big.
Because the little guys beat the hedge funds that were shorting.
You had the hedgies sweating for a minute, but they're back to laughing. And
yeah, I mean, some of them lost a few bucks, but you know, you can't beat City Hall, right? You can't beat Wall Street.
Stephen Cohen, the owner of the Mets, arguing with Barstool.
Just trying to make a living.
He's trying to make a living.
$16 billion. I'm just trying to make a living. Like he's like some working class schmo.
And then like all his like advisors like delete your Twitter.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. Yeah, yeah. He got off social media after that. Yeah, well, obviously
you
should.
He owns the Mets now, so he's in the public eye more than ever.
I'm just trying to make a buck.
Really, you're just trying to make a living.
Well, it just goes to show you that when rich people are overshorting a stock by 140%, then they should. You should probably get the shaft that they
now
deserve.
All the
get what you deserve.
Exactly. It's like
yeah.
But now all the fucking advisors are like, we can't short people because they're just gonna go in with pitchforks.
Well, you can't short over because the thing was that they shorted over the amount of stock. Not to get into this bullshit. Remember, like
we'll keep it light. Yeah,
but like in other words, shorting the stock was just betting for it to go down. But you do have to borrow the stock when you make that bet. So with what they were betting 140% of what was available. So, well, 140% means that they were betting 40% more than what was actually available on the market to short. So technically, they were shorting naked or double shorting, which really some of that you're not supposed to do. I don't know if the SEC is going to get involved in that if it was shorting naked.
Well, the SEC will certainly be involved.
They'll be involved.
They'll
probably
legally breaking laws.
And Robin Hood. I mean, that goes so deep. A lot of the shit that they did was very shady. The fact that they are essentially owned by Citadel. Citadel invests in Marvin Capital, which is one of the shorters. So there's a lot of like bedfellow back-end bullshit going on there, you know. But so there are official excuses that, we had to stop people from being able to sell their shares at GameStop because we weren't properly capitalized because our clearinghouse, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, yeah, maybe so, but... You know, despite all that, it does seem shady because of all of the back ends, like handshakes that, like I said, Robinhood's owned by Citadel,
they also got $1 billion in one day.
Got money injected to them by Citadel. I believe Citadel was one of the companies that injected Marvin Capital and the other, also, what was it called? The other hedge fund that was shorting it.
It was amusing that a lot of people were like looking to buy stocks and businesses that were just
failing
derelict.
Business. They were all derelict businesses. It had to be derelict businesses because those
we'll
ones get
Sam,
short.
We'll get Sam Goody stock. Chevy's.
Game Shack. Yeah. What else we got?
Radio Shack.
Western Beef.
Hot Ticket. Yeah. Those are some stocks.
Yeah, we're going to go get Ames, Kmart stock.
Essentially anything you did in the year 2001.
Let's get it. We're going to get Beefsteak Charlie stock.
Sizzler sounds promising.
Yeah, Prime stock.
Was amusing that.
Oh, of course. It's amusing to see rich people lose money and freak out.
Everyone being involved in stocks out of nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, everybody was
Everyone and their mother were discussing stocks. Yeah. But I think the parade has kind of sailed.
Again, like you said, it was they were doing it with derelict stocks. Well, the derelict stocks are the ones that were getting overly short because the hedge funds are like, well, this stock is clearly going to fail, so I'm going to bet for it to go down because we all know that AMC is in a really rough patch. BlackBerry is not doing so great. GameStop,
AMC,
of course.
AMC essentially survived because
that's true. AMC wisely sold $300 million worth of shares that they had to. So now it's like, well, we have some capital now to survive a little longer because when it went up, they had shares on hand that they unloaded at a peak price.
They got enough capital to survive another year, and that's all they needed.
Yeah.
Because a year from now, movie theaters will be
operational. So this did help them. I don't know if it helped so many of the people that bought those shares, other than if it was the hedge funds that had to cover. Because when you cover your short, that means, oh fuck, I'm losing. The stock's going up. I'm going to lose infinite amount of money. I have to cover my short position. Covering means they have to actually buy that stock. So buying the stock makes it go up even more, you know, because they're buying stock. Buying it makes it go up, you know, because there's... especially it's over 100% because all these hedge funds have to scramble to buy whatever available shares there are. Oh shit, it's 20 a share. Well, I have to bet, I need it, so I have to buy 21, 22, 23 because they all upbid each other. So that's how the stocks soars even higher because that's what makes the skyrocket. It's an exponential rise.
You got this famous character, Deep Fucking Value.
Who's that?
He was like, the guy that wears the headbands, he's from Boston. He was like the guy behind the whole GameStop movement.
Oh, was he? I don't know who the Redditors
were.
He
lost, so he's like the famous Deep Fucking Value, and they nicknamed him Diamond Hands. He's like,
I heard of the names, but I don't
know.
I didn't give that many shits about the Redditors.
It's called Deep Fucking Value. That's his handle. And he's just like 35-year-old dude lives in Boston, like, basement. And
I like him already.
He bought $50,000 of GameStop shares, like, 6 months ago and was like, this is where it's going, you know, and we got to stick it to these motherfuckers.
Sure, sure. Well, you see, somebody like that who you know, see the SEC might investigate him, though, because anybody on the especially the, it's easier to screw the little guy. So if there is a particular little guy that they could point out that was pumping for manipulation, then they might.
He's essentially the figurehead of the movement. Mm. So his name's Deep Fucking Value.
I thought it was the Wall Street Bets guy, the kid who created Wall Street Bets, whoever the fuck that is.
He's one of the main admins of Wall Street
Bets. Because obviously Wall Street Bets turned into an 8 million person subreddit in a week.
This guy's one of the admins of Wall Street Bets, and he's one of the celebrities of Wall Street Bets.
Oh, he's a celebrity, yeah.
So he's the figure, he's the face. So when they make a movie, he's going to be the main character.
Oh, yeah, they sold the rights to the movie. They're going to make a movie of it.
It's going
to
be, you know.
A little dinky Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah, you're going to have Michael Cera's going to play him
exactly. Like, you know, Jonah Hill. And
yeah, Jonah Hill's going to be his, fat friend.
Fat friend. Let's fucking raise the stock. $50 million in 2 hours.
He's going to have, Matthew McConaughey as the hedge fund guy. He's going to be let's fuck.
Yeah. We're going to kill these little stock shits.
We already did the casting of the movie.
It's already done. It's already been announced.
McConaughey's going to play
Matthew McConaughey will be the hedge fund guy.
You're going to have these nerdy fucking dudes that are
the Redditors that screwed the big guys in the movie event that no one's going to direct to Hulu.
So, yeah. So, speaking of movies and AMC, I found this really funny stat today. So, the number one grossing superhero movie of 2020. You would never believe it. You're thinking, all right.
Tell us, Sean.
Wonder Woman.
Tell us, Sean. Wonder Woman 1979.
Yeah, abortion.
abort. 1984.
Sonic the Hedgehog was the number one grossing.
How is that possible? Nobody saw movie. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Financially, I guess, because of COVID, it was the number one grossing.
When did it come out? What was the exact date? Did it come out during COVID?
I think it came out maybe February or something of 2020.
Oh, it soared. Perfect timing.
You had Harley Quinn in the movie theater. I think that was the last movie I saw in the movie.
Oh, man. Harley Quinn and the Hornets of Birds of Prey. The
fucking feminist. Harley Quinn and the feminist agenda. and it was. I didn't see it. It was marginal. Yeah. It was better than Wonder Woman.
Should we move into Wonder Woman?
So this is the first of many on the HBO Max, which they're fucking the movie industry big time.
Naturally.
Going straight to HBO Max. And I have HBO Max. I enjoy it.
Sure.
Godzilla vs. King Kong's coming out next month. I'm very excited for that movie.
Very excited.
But yeah, why am I going to the movie theater and I can just go watch it on my phone?
You don't think the experience of going to see a movie is...
I miss it.
Do you think enough people miss it where it can survive?
It will survive. I think COVID will inevitably change it forever.
Change it how, though? We could be sitting seats away from each other. How does it change?
If everything's going to streaming instead of theaters, it's not going to be... You're not going to be like, all right, why the fuck am I going to go to the movie? And you're a family of four.
For the experience. Well, I know, a family of four.
You buy jugs of popcorn and XYZ.
Oh, it's a $100 event, you know, at least.
Like me and you, we like brick and mortar. We like.
Yeah.
We like dying trends.
It's the old world, yeah.
We you know, we're retrograde for a reason because we support old world entertainment activities.
We support old world entertainment, old world stocks, old world electronic boutique.
So I was sponsored by Sam Goody.
Yeah, sponsored by Sam Goody and The Wiz. Yeah.
No, I enjoy the movie theater experience.
Sure, well, that's what I'm saying. Me too. You know, I get what you're saying. Of course, it's obvious. It's so much easier and cheaper.
He hasn't been in a movie theater yet.
No, I wouldn't put a 2-year-old in a movie theater anyway. But
well, you put him on an airplane, so
yeah, they sleep on an airplane. In a movie theater, they might try to run around.
No one else is sleeping. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
But yet AMC, you know, from this stock exodus, they survived.
Yes.
Regal. Look at Regal. It opened a giant movie theater in the South Shore of Staten Island.
What about, what's it called? The house? Alamo Draft House.
It was supposed to be open already. They're like, COVID. Oh, they're
so
like,
you're saying that it might not?
No, it's going to open. They just were like, let's put it on ice.
Well, because of COVID. I know that whole lot, it was supposed to be open. There's a whole, they rebuilt.
ShopRite's the only thing open right now.
From that Kmart video on our RetroK channel, check the Death of Kmart video. In that video, I would go to that lot. That lot was leveled since then. The Kmart's gone. Everybody's gone. And the ShopRite is in place of the Pathmark and the Kmart.
I regret this. This is actually your fault, not mine. I mentioned let's do it. And you were like, yeah, let's do it. And it was too late.
Sears. Yeah, there's other Sears. There was even a Kmart still around in Northern Jersey, which I want to check out, since closed. You got to really jump on them. They're dropping like flies. So if you don't, it's nice to talk. Oh, yeah, we'll do Sears. A month goes by, 2 months, and it closes. You know, it's not like they're going to be around forever.
Is there any Kmart still in Jersey?
There is, I believe.
Jersey Shore, correct?
There's one, I think. There was the one near Long Branch that has since closed.
It was a
big K, too.
Ooh, yeah. Big K.
Big K. And I do believe there is another one not too far that still exists, but you know what? Right, check your Google, because it might be closed.
Let's do a Retrocade road trip, because we're running out of time.
We're running out of time. That's the problem. They're going to go.
It's like this dinosaur's on his deathbed. They've got to go visit.
They're on life support, and they're about to be taken off. They're going to pull the plug on these places soon, you know?
Well,
so.
I mentioned to you on, I think I sent you a picture, Forest Avenue. It used to be in the Pathmark Shopping Plaza. Majors Records.
Yes. Yeah, I know Majors. So yeah.
They relocated, and they sell like VHS tapes and fucking a lot of schlocky vintage stuff.
My parents go there a bit, yeah.
So I think we got to put that on.
Yeah, we should check Majors. Yeah,
and it's also giving a little Staten Island business some
give it a little
publicity.
Yeah, yeah. Get a nice. They'll get 100 people that see it and like, who cares?
We'll generate about $50 in sales.
Generate about $50
from
in sales.
Yeah,
oh, I saw you on Retrocade. I'll buy this old VHS.
Thanks, pal. Yeah,
this old VHS of Eraserhead or Silence of the Lambs.
I actually bought Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Oh.
At Majors, approximately 1998.
That's good. So should we segue into where I would get the. We were talking about classic Star Wars figures, as we have the classic Star Wars figures on the table here. So I bought this shit almost got destroyed about an hour ago.
This whole
studio was destroyed an hour ago. Not even kidding. This whole table got destroyed. The table buckled.
We had a 2 hour delay.
There was coffee and beer fucking everywhere. It took us 2 hours to clean it. But this is the original 1977 Star Wars set.
It's a beautiful piece.
Beautiful piece. It's the display action display set is what it was called.
So when I was here, I was fiddling with it a little bit, just kind of, you know, experiencing it.
Yeah.
And there's a little gears where the figures can slightly.
Yeah, you can kind of, you show them off. It's a display set, action display. You know? So you show them off. So these are the original, they call them their first 12. Their first 12 Star Wars figures that were released.
What did that retail? So I'm going to guess 79, was that released? 78?
It was released, I believe, in 78. The display set was not released. It was a mail-in, 4-6 proofs of purchase, and then you mail it, you get a mail-in. It was a General Mills tie-in.
Well, the mail-ins, too, were a key, was the figures weren't ready yet.
Well, originally. So in 77, in Christmas of 77, there were no Star Wars figures ready for people to buy. And of course, there was huge demand. So what they had was the early bird certificate package, which was this package for, I think it was 1999 or no, it was like $12.99.
It came with four figures.
And it was four figures. But there was no figures. It was just a piece of cardboard. And then you send away for the figures because they weren't ready yet.
They'll mail it to you in like 9 months' time.
And they'll mail it to you, exactly. Imagine being
a 6-year-old, like, I love Star Wars. And
yeah.
Like,
and you have to, you get this for.
Get these in the mail.
You get these for Christmas, and then 4 to 6 months later, you get it. The four figures.
Attention span of 6-year-olds. Which
oh my god, 6 months might have been an eternity. They were better than
that.
Then
they are actually better because nowadays they're on their iPads.
They're on their iPads.
Watch a fucking TV show.
Yeah. No, they want
that. Watch 3-minute clips of YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. There's no attention span. So imagine having to be a 6-year-old and wait 6 months for your figures.
At least back then, they had some patience.
Yeah, so that was the original.
That reminds you of the Christmas Story movie when he gets the Ovaltine, like the quarter pin.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Or he like checks his mail every
day. Yeah,
like,
every day
oh.
to check the mail. Yeah, and then it finally comes. And
that reminds me of the Ninja Turtle figures. There was like, it was probably $10 or $5. You can draw the Ninja Turtles club.
Yes. They had all those clubs
then. You mail in like proofs of purchase.
Brevin, 10 proofs of purchase to become in the Ninja Turtles club.
And the Ninja Turtles club was like a bandana, some stickers, like
right.
Membership card.
Membership
it was
card,
a
maybe a little like ring with a turtle on it.
It was a bunch of junk.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I remember, I forgot what color my bandana was. I think it was blue.
There you go.
And I just thought it was like a generic blue bandana. It looked cool, but I never used it. You know, it was a bandana.
Where are you going to wear it? Yeah, school.
But I didn't realize they came out of bandana. They had four different color bandanas.
For each turtle.
But you got one in
per,
the four.
Right,
so
one per month.
I got the blue one.
Imagine if you have a full set, that might be worth something today. It might be quite collectible.
Yeah, it also reminded the Burger King kids, though. Do you remember this?
I was not a party to the Burger King kids club.
Okay, so I think it was Freyer's $2. You sit in the Burger King Kids Club, right? You get us a whole little membership kit. Like, if, you know, the little membership cards were big back then, apparently.
Yes.
But
oh, yeah.
You have to put your birthday in for the birthday card, the club, and you get a free kids meal on your birthday, but it has a date on it. So you can't, you have to use it on your actual birthday.
Well, yeah, that I would, otherwise you're going to be using it every day, right?
But I remember, like, eating Burger King on my birthday, and I was like, you know, ooh, 7 years old.
That's like with Starbucks app, you get a free coffee on your birthday.
Well, the big birthday one is Rollin' Roast, which I haven't been.
Yes, you get to roll the dice, roll the thing. I actually still have a $5 coin from Rollin' Roaster. Rollin' Roaster is a well-known roast beef place in Brooklyn.
It's also right up Retro Kids Alley. It looks like the 70s.
Oh, they haven't changed a thing since 74.
And it's known for, it's a very vintage fast food restaurant. Yeah,
it's also like a racket because you go there any time of day and there's a line out the door for the last 50
years.
And
they're open till like midnight, so you go there.
Later than that. I think on the weekends they're open till like 2.
You go there late at night on the weekends to the drunk Brooklyn crowd.
Yeah, you get the drunk Sheepshead Bay crowd, and it's packed to the gills. I went there recently.
Sheepshead Bay? It's more than that.
All of it. Well, it's in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, but it's everybody in Brooklyn.
You know, you go there during the day, you have a lot of families, and you go there at night, you have a lot of drunks.
Yep. Lunch people, families, whoever.
I love it. If I live in Brooklyn, I'd eat there probably once a week.
And we're starving, so we're starving. Roller Roaster hit the spot right now.
That sounds pretty enticing.
It's a classic place, but.
You ever been to Brighton and Carr?
Of course, I went to Brandon. Brandon Carr's another roast beef.
They're closed at like reasonable hours, but they're another.
Yeah, they're not as
nearby.
It's a couple blocks
10
away.
10 minutes from each other.
Yeah. I've ate there too. That's more sit down though. You don't really get it to go.
They also have
the window.
No, they have the gravy. They dip.
Oh,
the roast beef sandwich is
au jus roast beef sandwich.
And then you ask them how much you want dipped. You're like, do you want it wet?
I want it soaking.
But no, they're.
They're great too.
Phenomenal.
Very similar. I'm probably more of a Rollin' Roaster guy, just because
I think Rollin' Roaster's better fries.
Well, that's
sides.
What I'm saying. The selection, yeah.
The actual
shakes,
roast beef in
the
question.
The corn fritters.
The actual roast beef, specifically, I think is better.
Potentially, yeah.
But Rollin' Roaster's a better experience.
Rollin' Roaster better. It's more of the crazy wild experience, and you know, because there's so much stuff on the menu. You think it's a fast food joint, and then that'll be $38.75. You know, I never walk out of there like.
Well, the key is though, you order together and you get a free pizza.
$35 or more, you get a free 12-inch pizza.
It's like a high-quality frozen pizza.
Yeah, it's like
good.
A thin. It's for free. It's fine. I think. But what is it if you have to pay for it? It's like $7.
Maybe $6.
Yeah, it's like a. It's just a little personal pie, but you get it for free.
I would never buy it.
Bought it, but we always get it for free.
So you pull your orders.
Yeah.
And you order.
Yeah, exactly. You get only two people really need to pool it, or you could do it on your own. Because I'll usually get two roast beef sandwiches, corn fritters, the cheese fries, a drink.
Fritters
are good.
It's
like fucking six, the twelve, RNG, 18. Orangeade's a great choice too. The fresh lemonade and the fresh orangeade are great choices.
They actually had one in Manhattan and Staten Island.
There was one in Staten Island briefly. I'd never been to the one in Manhattan. And the Staten Island one is gone
in
the
village,
90s.
Which I'm thinking, man. It'd
be a racket, right?
From ages 21 to 25.
The NYU crowd. Would
I went to
be
the village.
Racket.
That was like my go to bar city experience.
Same. Constantly.
Imagine being there.
Either Second Avenue or the village ones.
McDougal was like the big.
Yeah. Or Three Sheets, but all of mostly, like you said, the village
ones.
They
closed at McDonald's. I know.
I used to play at the Hamble Courts right across the street.
At
West
4th. We were in high school kids. That was our meal because we had no money.
Oh, yeah. I had been there recently, like within the last year or so, I went in there.
It reminds me of the infamous Camel cigarette tin.
Oh, yeah. Me, you, and friend of the cast, Steve, got the Camel Crush
these
cigarettes.
These are like
the flavored ones.
These are before vapes, but they were like
long
candy
like
tasting cigarettes.
It's like 2003, 2004.
We were buying them illegally.
Steve. But they were like really flavored. Not like today where.
They were like cherry vanilla.
Yeah, it was like,
and, like
cigarettes that were super flavored, like sweet.
And they
you know?
Came in like a fancy metal tin.
Yeah,
and they were a little more expensive.
Yeah, premium offering.
Back then, cigarettes were probably like $6 a pack, and these were like $10 a pack.
Yeah,
so
something like that.
In modern equivalency, these would probably be $20 now.
Yeah, literally, probably like, you know, because what are cigarettes now? It's like $14 in New York City.
So yeah, that was the whole village experience.
Oh, yeah, that was part of it. I would go and play handball. You guys get Camel Crush cigarettes because they would give them to anybody in Manhattan. And then you had the McDonald's right across the street. But next to it was all those bars that we would
go
to.
Also, it was a good spot when you had no money and we're in the village hanging. It was Gray's Papaya. It was fantastic.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I did Gray's Papaya a number of times.
It was by the movie theater. I don't remember.
Yeah, the movie theater right across the street.
They played
there,
a
right?
lot of like indie. I never actually went to a movie.
I never went in there, but it still exists. That's a well known movie theater. I think it's a
NYU film thing.
Oh yeah, 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 a lot of stuff. That's right across the street from the West 4th Hamble Courts.
There's
basketball court.
Story of that movie theater that Todd Phillips, who directed The Joker, The Hangover, all these things. When he was an NYU film student, mm-hmm. he made his film project because to graduate, you have to make like a final film,
right?
So he did a G.G. Allen documentary.
Oh, Gordon.
And it came out right before G.G. Allen died. So G.G. Allen went to like the premiere of the movie, and he died like a month later, which only hyped up the documentary even
more. Well, naturally, right?
But they said at the physical documentary, which was at that movie theater, because that's where they filmed it,
yes.
he was there, and he lived in the village. He was like a gutter rat bum.
Oh, yeah.
Just doing shows and living out of hotels and people's apartments. Just
throwing feces at people.
They were like shit-faced drunk at the movie, throwing beer bottles at the screen, laughing and causing a disturbance. Because, like, they said, all right, you get 30 tickets to the movie theater. Mm-hmm. So he came with his entourage, and he just, like, destroyed the place. But it was that movie theater, which I find pretty interesting.
That movie theater is also, you can see that movie theater in Carlito's Way.
There's a bunch of films.
Yeah, there's a lot of films. It's now the IFC. It's the IFC. It's on at 6th Ave right there. It's Avenue Americas.
So IFC.
Yeah, here, see this one?
Yeah, the
Right across the street is the cable cage, the handball courts.
IFC's bought it. It's their cable channel.
Right.
They bought it recently, within the last like 6-7 years. It used to be something else.
Right. Right.
The cable channel IFC. IFC's known for Portlandia was their biggest show. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Independent Film Channel. That's what it stands for.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Independent Film Theater.
Yeah.
And it's like a New York City landmark, so they bought it.
Yeah.
Which right. I think is good marketing.
It was originally
before COVID,
of
course.
Yeah. What was the original name of it? Because it is the IFC Theater. But did it have a different name originally?
It did. Because IFC bought it when we were hanging out in those
Which
haunts
is,
as teenagers.
Under AMC, of course. You know, IFC is a...
But yeah, when we were hanging out in those haunts as like early teenagers, that was definitely something else.
Oh, yeah. The original Back to the Well, a documentary for Clerks 2 was first screened there. Bob Weinstein was in attendance.
Clerks 2. You know they're making...
Clerks 3. They've been talking about it for so long.
I heard it's in development.
I don't know if I've ever talked about this in the podcast. Me and friend of the cast, Jay, went to a cake show at the Starland Ballroom in New Jersey.
Cake the band. I'm thinking like you're going to a cake show.
We went to
like,
a cake show.
Like,
we were tasting
cake chef.
We
like
were cake
buddy?
Tasting. They were delicious. No, we went to the band
were
Cake.
You guys getting married or something?
Short skirt, long jacket. We went to see the band Cake. And
that had to be years ago.
2012, something like that. That's what I'm saying. So it was like maybe 8 or 9 years ago. 2012, 2013, around that area. And I don't know if it was before or after they got destroyed by Hurricane Sandy. I don't remember. But it was around that time frame. So what happened is, so there's a guy in front of us on the floor. We're on the GA floor, Cake. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? I was like, look, Jay. And he was like, what? I was like, that's fucking Dante. And he was like, who?
Who the fuck's Dante?
I'm like, Brian O'Halloran. He's like, who? He has no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. I was like, Dante from fucking
Clerks. He's
probably
eating a slice of pizza. Like.
Yeah, exactly. You get pizza and a beer in there. You just know what the fuck I'm talking about. It's just some guy in front of us with like graying hair. He's like, who the fuck are you saying? Like, I don't know this guy.
Brian O'Halloran.
Who the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, the Dante from fucking Clerks. He's like, oh. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, man. So after the concert, which was very good, by the way, they don't allow video. In fact, I took my phone out for 1 second.
Need to leave.
Unbelievable. You know, it was at the end of the show, too.
I like that.
Yeah, I guess. But they no allowing video. So anyway, so we get out, and we're all walking out of we're in the parking lot, and Jay fucking was like, oh, yo, Dante. And
he's like another of these fucking
pricks. I'm like, his name's Brian. Like, and then he's like, oh, hi. And then some guy with like a Jets jersey walks past, and Brian O'Halloran's like, oh, go Jets, because they played that day. And the guy's like, yeah, whatever. I don't know, he had no idea who
he's
he
like,
was.
Fucking
yeah, I just remember like him not. I'm like thinking in my head, I was like, this guy's was in Clerks, you're giving him like the shoulder. But
Jets are actually good in like 2010. So.
Yeah, I think they lost that day, but it was.
Did you go on a Sunday?
It was the concert must have been on a Sunday, yeah, and. So we start talking to him. He was nice, and he's like, "Oh yeah." And Jay was like, yeah, "Like smoking a cigarette." He's like, "Oh yeah." So when's Clerks 2 coming? Clerks 3 coming out? He's like, "Eventually." He's like, "Kevin's writing it." We were like, "What?" Yeah, and this is 9 years ago, and still nothing. But long story short, he actually he lives on Staten. He was like, "Oh, I'm going back to Staten Island." He's like, "Oh, get out of here! We live on Staten Island too." Nice. Yeah, he apparently lives on the South Shore of Staten Island, so with his wife, and she was there too. But he was a nice dude, Brian O'Halloran, very respectful. Oh,
Clerks
2
just sucks so much that
I didn't dislike Clerks 2. I was not as good as the first one, but I like Clerks 2.
I didn't. Clerks 1 is a cult
classic. Cult classic. I saw that as a kid because Dave
37
Holman,
dicks in a row?
37. And then they have that conversation about Star Wars, which is fun.
It's funny.
The whole movie's fun. We should pass by there. The Quick Stop is not far away.
People actually called me the Truly's gum salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was always promoting my beer products when we were in group outings. Like, oh, drink Budweiser.
Right.
And then they're like, what are you, the Truly's gum guy? Like, you know.
That makes perfect, yeah.
It's like, oh, anti-smoking's terrible. Truly's gum.
Truly's gum. Yeah, that's great stuff.
Kevin Smith lost a lot of weight, and he's just not as likable when
he's... he's better fat.
I like him.
We had that heart attack, and he had to lose weight, you know?
True. Yeah. Like, it's better to be skinny than dead.
Skinny and alive than fat and dead.
But when he's fat, you like relate to him. He's like a nerdy kind of guy.
Right,
from Jersey.
No, I get it.
Now when he's skinny, you're like,
you're just another schmo.
Yeah, like you want to have a nutritionist, you fucking loser.
You fucking Hollywood friggin' loser. Go hang out with friggin' Harvey Weinstein, you piece of But apparently they said they were writing it. But again, that was like not that must have been. You should look up Cake Starland Ballroom, and I'm sure it was 13. Like it was 8 years ago.
If people wearing Jets jerseys in public. It had to be 10 years ago.
I know, right?
You wouldn't wear any of those jersey in a long time.
Let's see, Starland Ballroom. I'm sure it was fucking so many years ago.
Absolutely.
Actually, it's hard to find it because it's because when you look up Cake, you just see pictures of Cake.
So to stay on current topics,
September 22nd, 2013. So it's 2013. Wow. Okay. September 22nd. So it should have been a Sunday because the Jets were playing that day.
Super Bowl. What'd you do?
Ooh,
what'd you think?
What
Tom
did I
Brady's
think?
Brady's legacy is something else.
I
guess.
Like I'm sick of hearing people talk about how he's the best athlete of all time. The best athlete of all time.
I mean, winning 7 Super Bowls is something kind of unheard of. And
isn't that crazy, though?
Outlandish. But
that's a word you love to use.
I was actually rooting for the Bucks. I wanted the Bills to win, you know. And then the Bills lost. So I was like, all right, fuck the Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh, so did you you have any boxes? You bet on the game?
I had one $250 box.
There you go.
And I had 8-8, which are pretty shit numbers.
Right, and you still...
And I won nothing. So
good on you.
Pretty much how it resonated.
Yeah, I didn't bet. I just barely watched it. What'd you think of that?
The weekend halftime
show? Yeah. How'd you know, Sean? How did you know?
Well, you're not a much sports guy, so I figured you talk about the halftime show more.
Was there much of a game to watch anyway, though?
It was a SmackDown.
It was a SmackDown early too. It was not like there was not
they
like
dominated the whole game.
Yeah, there was not much like
flustered. They
yeah,
pressure.
They were fucking off balance. Yeah,
I was reading reviews over the halftime show, and people said it was poor.
Yeah,
I thought it was okay. The problem is too.
I thought it was lackluster. I just thought it was. Is it because there was like the crowd was?
They say you can't have fans. Like usually they have like people, but. Yeah. I remember last year's halftime show, which was Jennifer Lopez and Shakira.
People hated on that, but I thought it was a lot better.
Billion times better.
I thought that was a billion times better.
Hot Latin woman dancing.
Yeah.
Doing all these flashy dances. And now I see The Weeknd with these guys have diapers on. They're dancing around.
Yeah, I just felt it was a little lacking energy. A little low energy.
Yeah, I thought it was poor.
Yeah, low energy
It was below average.
Below average. Low energy for a Super Bowl.
He has a few catchy jams, but overall I thought... It could have been done better.
My mom was like, "But what weekend? The weekend was over. I don't understand."
You gotta buy that game stonk.
Game is this game stonk? What week? The weekend's over. It's Sunday night. No, the weekend. But it's over.
It sounds
tomorrow's Monday.
It does sound like your old Sheila.
It's Sunday evening.
The game stonk.
You gotta buy that game stonk last week. Yeah, so that was what my impression of. I'm sure you went to a lot of Super Bowl COVID parties. You wore your face mask and your nachos.
I actually wore a very old Buccaneers jersey I had, bright orange creamsicle, Trent Dilfer 96.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect.
People are like, what the fuck jersey is that? And it's bright, like fluorescent orange.
Well, you love the flamboyant colors there, Sean.
I do like loud colors.
Speaking of loud colors, we have shirts on that are classic.
I got some nerd tees.
Nerd tees. What do you got?
I got a Magic the Gathering.
I got my Lucasfilm logo shirt on. What do you got, Sean?
I got Magic the Gathering.
So, your Magic the Gathering is interesting because it's all vintage packs.
It has four packs on it.
Tempest, Urza Saga, Mirage, and what
fifth
do we got?
Fifth edition.
Ooh, let me see that fifth. Bring that
pretty
over.
Cool looking pack.
That's nice. That's nice. That's nice. Those
so
are nice.
We played sixth edition. We never played fifth.
We came at, well, I mean, fifth was played. It's just that the main core set that was playing at the time that we started playing in like 2000 was sixth edition. Sixth edition had just come out. In fact, let's look at one that.
So they made up to, I think, ninth edition, and then they went to core.
No, they went to, they got 10th edition. 10th edition exists.
Because now it's just core. They
call
it core.
They just call it core, yeah.
Sixth edition is iconic to me because I remember playing Friday Night Magic at Alton Realm.
April 21st, 1999 was when sixth edition came out. My birthday of 1999.
And how the structure worked Friday Night Magic, you make a deck back then was three packs.
You took about with a sealed deck or what are
you
talking about?
It was a three pack. You had, I think it was three packs.
For what? Sealed deck?
Friday Magic, whatever format.
Whatever format might. Yeah, but then.
Sealed deck six packs.
Was that draft? Or then were you.
It was a draft.
Maybe three pack draft. Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah, because you three packs and you
I remember
next
it was
yeah,
two
yeah.
masks and one six.
Sure, yeah, that's what you would do. You would do the main set and then a core. Those are good times.
Fantastic times. That was like the great Friday night when you were 11 years old.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. That's good stuff.
We were, yeah.
Yeah, 11, yeah, 11, 12, yeah. Turning 12. We were like the young. It's funny because I look at some
we
of the.
We were the young kids there.
Well,
yeah.
We're babies because there's grown men playing. I'm looking at some of these guys because I'm thinking, man, I'm like, how old was this guy? And I'm like, he was 26. I was like, he looked like a 45-year-old man. And now they're like men that are 50. But I'm like, they weren't even that old. I'm well over the older
so
than them
before
now.
COVID, about a year ago. Yeah, a year ago. So last January, February, I was going to some tournaments in the city on Fridays.
For Magic.
For Magic.
Where were you playing?
In Midtown, they'd have great drafts.
JHU? Jim Henry's no. Universe?
It was called Monesty Comics.
Well, why wasn't I informed of this? This sounds like a Retrocade exclusive.
I think I invited you once, and you're like, I'm busy.
Well, I am busy. I am busy.
But, I mean,
so you played some Manhattan.
You
did you go alone? You just go in a draft?
I went alone most of the time.
Interesting. So that's the thing with me. Magic for me at this age is like, time with friends to go just to like socialize with people I don't was, you know what I mean it's different if as a kid I wanted to go out and play different people and be competitive but now I'm like time is so scarce I better off using this time to
it
like
it was like a Friday night where I had nothing to do
completely
like,
dead yeah I mean listen if I had a completely ghost night Friday that's you know there you go
I was a median age I'd say people were 20 to 40 was the crowd
well we were
but
definitely
there some,
young bucks
there would be some kids there like 15-year-olds, and they were like the babies of the group.
Sure.
We were like 10-year-olds.
We were legitimately babies, yeah, because we were barely even in middle school.
I remember one of the drafts.
Imagine being like a grown, because I'm thinking in my head how, I'm like, that old guy was about 27, but they looked like they were fucking 40, you know? The old guys that were playing, now they're old men. They are, well, 50.
If they were 27, 99.
We'll go and say 2000.
Okay, so they're 27, 2000.
37, 47. So they're not even that old now. But they look like old men.
They were like 14 years old when Magic came out.
Yeah.
So that was
those
like
prime
guys.
Time. Like I'm talking about
my cousin Billy who listens to the
like
cast.
Some of the names, I could show you their Facebooks. You would probably never even recognize these guys, but I remembered who they were. I remember their names too. Because you have everybody's name like when you're playing in these tournaments, you're gonna remember their I would remember their full names, you know, whoever it was.
My cousin Billy who listens to the cast, he was around that age.
Yeah, he was an original player, right?
He had some. I mean, he got rid of most of them, but he had. If he kept his cards, he would have thousands and thousands of dollars worth.
Got to keep your original stuff, like your original Pokemon, your original
Star
Wars.
He told me was
good thing we kept our Charizards.
He got ripped off. He was at a Comic Con in like early 2000s.
Yeah,
and someone like ripped him off for his Library Alexander. Like, I'll give you $200 for it. And that card now you could buy probably $4,000 or $5,000.
Did you see the recent PSA 10? Alpha
Black Lotus.
Did you see what it just sold for on eBay?
I remember you sent me the link and I was discussing it. I forgot the sale.
It just sold. It was for $500,000.
So this is the holy grail of Magic cards, Black Lotus.
If you're anybody who knows Magic, I'm assuming our listeners know Magic the Gathering.
I showed that.
Have heard of Black Lotus.
I showed it to a lot of friends of the cast, Comp, Max, etc. And he was like, why is that card good? I don't get it. And it's like, three mana, turn one, and he cut like it's just absurdly broken. Yeah, you sacrifice it, but you can pump out. People don't understand the power of the early cards. They're just an overwhelmingly powerful.
Here it is, the listing.
Wow, Grade 10.
PSA 10. Yeah, it's like one. I think it's, they say the population.
One of seven, says.
Yeah, the population is only seven, yeah.
So only seven in the world exists.
Seven PSA 10 alpha black lotuses. PSA 10 would be the top grading, the perfect mint gem mint condition. And there's only, they say there's a population of seven, which mean that they have only graded seven total gem mint.
And it's from 1993, you realize.
Yeah, and it's signed, but I believe just the outside of it is signed. Probably just the... just the
oh, see, that's the thing. I don't would never want you to. If it was great, sign the case. Great.
I think they signed the case.
Can't,
yeah.
Yeah.
Can't sign the card.
No, it wouldn't be a 10 if it was.
I guess not. Because I have a Charizard signed by Mitsuhiro Arita, and it's probably worth less. I got to get them graded now.
I got to, you know, the grades are expensive, like $200 almost.
Well, I mean, that's why the, you know.
There's two. There's
no, you can get, I mean, you can get a grade as cheap as 20, you know, for
there's
PSA.
There's PSA and there's Beckett. Beckett's yeah. The other one.
Yeah.
Because there's a famous Pokemon guy that gets his cards graded.
Talk about Lionheart or whatever.
Lionheart.
Yeah.
And I guess he lives in Minnesota, and Beckett's located in Minnesota.
Well, there you go. You could just drive him on over.
He goes there and physically drops him off.
That's much better.
And that's the thing. If I have a fucking $2,000 card, I'm a little scared to put it in the mail.
Absolutely.
You know?
I remember I worked for a company that did high-end Swarovski, and they had a $30,000 piece. They had a $30,000 Swarovski piece, and they were paying someone to personally drive it to the Midwest for the purchase. And I was like, geez, because they didn't want to like send it UPS or whatever, even with signature and insurance. They were personally driving it to the person.
I would never put a $2,000 Magic card in the mail. No fucking way.
Yeah, I know, right? Is it like it is a gamble for sure.
And you can physically drop it off at the PSAs, but
there's none around here though, right?
PSA's not in New York City. I'm not sure where it's located, but. You think I'm driving to like fucking Missouri or somewhere?
Yeah. No, I would say that you are not. You know, but that's the thing. Yeah, but I mean, like, look, for lesser cards. I mean, if I had like what my Charizards, you know, or what was my Charizards worth? I haven't even looked. Like, what are Shadowless Charizards going for? You know, like 800 maybe.
You have a fucking ton.
I have nine of them. Yeah,
I have two. I have two.
You have two Charizards? Well, good on you. Yeah, or either Shadowless. Probably Shadowed.
I'm gonna have actually one's base set too, so I only have.
Oh
one.
Well, all right. That's still worth something. It's still worth something.
I'm going to have to send you a picture of my Charizard. Yeah, sure. You're more of an expert Pokemon.
But even me, because the prices have changed so much in the last year, even I don't know what the fuck they're going for, because I haven't been actively looking
it
too hard.
It had like the stonk bubble in early COVID. So all these YouTubers were fucking...
Yes.
Vintage packs, bro! And it's like, you weren't even born in 2000,
I know, there's
fuck.
So many Xenial kids, Gen Z kids that are just... that are just like, because they're following the and everybody was saying, it's like, bro, you should sell your Pokemon cards now, because obviously it's a serious peak right now because of all the YouTube kids opening them, and even like the
I think the prices went down, I think.
Yeah, well, of course, I would assume they're going to normalize, because it was a
Paul,
serious...
No, Aaron Paul's a guy from Breaking Bad.
Jake Paul, Aaron, no,
some YouTuber,
Jake Paul and the other Paul. Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, that sounds right. You think I fucking... Like, there's a couple YouTubers.
I don't watch these guys, but they're better. They're for Gen Z kids. They're not
honestly,
for us geezers.
We're geezers. I go on YouTube and listen to music.
I go on YouTube.
Man.
I have like a... You know, I'm like Red Letter Media. Like, who do I watch? You know,
we're
I mean?
Geezers, man.
We're geezers. We're past the prime. Gen Z, go somewhere else.
Snap who?
Yeah, we don't
Snapchat.
Know.
Snapchat.
TikTok. What the fuck is
TikToks?
That?
TikToks. I have...
TikToks.
Breath.
Bad breath?
Yeah, we're geezers now.
Yeah, we're geezers, you know.
And it's sad, but you know.
It's sad that we're old.
That's why we're like, oh shit, Kmart.
We are like the quintessential, I guess, kind of maybe millennial range, though. Maybe even millennials are kind of younger than us, though.
We're the old millennials.
We're oldish millennials. We're a little bit, but we're not Gen X, so.
Well, that's why, like, you look at the money you're putting down on these vintage figures. I'm like getting my arcade. Started.
Yeah, Sean's building a fucking arcade here.
I got two cabinets. Woo. I need five, so I'm almost halfway there.
You need five. You must have five. You're going to get the Star Wars one? You know they have the Star Wars one.
See, I'm not big.
I'm not a fan of the Star Wars one.
The games aren't that good. I played them.
They're not
kind of shitty.
No, they're not like...
So, actually, Flav, a friend of the cast.
Yes.
He texted me, and actually I saw it, but he texted me. The X-Men arcade game, they're releasing that in the arcade 1-ups.
Yes, yes.
So that's a definite pickup.
Just X-Men?
No, there's two other games on it.
Okay.
But they're like, I'm not familiar. They're like
sure. Yeah, I would love if they did Simpsons.
Yeah.
Talking to your mic, too.
It's getting the rights.
There you go.
They have a Marvel contract. They have a Capcom contract.
Yeah. Who owns the rights to the Simpsons game? Just Fox?
Konami.
Konami owns it. That game was great, though.
phenomenal.
That's
game.
One of my favorites.
But this is the thing, right? They gotta package it with other Konami games because you don't okay. do one single.
No,
Sims
I know, but I would love for the cabinet itself and the
light
the prime
blue,
game, the light blue with the Simpsons shit. That's a classic
it also had
game
the
cabinet.
Gritty, the old gritty Simpsons artwork.
Yes, yes.
That came out like season two.
It was like season one or two, right? It was
so
like
it had like
it was like 90.
Squiggly, shitty artwork.
Yeah, which
and
is,
that's what makes it great.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't
not
want
like
polished fancy.
We don't need
shit.
New digital Simpsons. In fact, anytime I see like the HD version of a Simpsons episode,
I can't stand
I'm like,
it.
Next.
No,
I need
well,
the old
animation's
gritty.
Disgusting. I love it.
Yeah,
season
no, we,
one. People hate season
yeah,
one.
But
I love
it's
it.
So gritty and like.
Because like you, if you pause it. Things are out of frame.
Yeah, it's just
color
like that
shirts don't
cell
match.
Animation is so poor and shoddy. But
Klasky Supo.
Yeah, it's
was one of the animators.
Okay,
that's they also did Rugrats, which is surprising.
Oh yeah, but Rugrats was you know similar like cell animation kind of. I mean, they all were in
early
the 90s, yeah.
But yeah, so I'm definitely. It's, you know, we're wasting our adult money, but not wasting. I think we're...
No, these are investments, Sean.
Oh.
This is not a waste.
It's called To the Moon.
This is fucking To the Moon. We're taking our game stonks to the moon here. Can't you see these original... they're all in there. Oh, those are the original limited edition action figures.
When we die, our kids can sell our shit.
Our
like,
kids
this
can
stuff
sell our shit
lame.
For a third of the price. Yeah.
This shit's lame.
Yeah, like go to an estate sale or a garage sale.
The minute we die, they're going to dump
all
of it.
All gone. Sell my dad's garbage.
Games are terrible.
These are terrible. Like, oh, you want these guitars?
Look at my dad's
and
dumb toys. Like, do you think that any of our kids are gonna like our stuff?
No, but they will like the money that they'll convert it to.
For sure.
Yeah. If I keep it all till death.
I have a feeling you'll keep a chunk of it.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I have no intention of selling any of my collectibles anytime soon. So.
Nah, I mean, you fall in hard times. You know, we.
But it might better be really hard times if I start selling my Star Wars collection. But I did accumulate a little bit too much Star Wars during this COVID, right?
You spiked your purchases.
Yeah, I definitely
spiked. We're running out of room in the studio. A table almost went into a sinkhole.
Yeah, Sean's like, the load bearing of this table. We got like 10 pounds of toys on this table. That did not take the table down. There was coffee and...
Didn't help.
There was coffee and beer over everything. I don't know how it didn't hit the original action figures here.
That's what we were worried about.
When I seen it, I was like, the original figures! Because everything else is encased, you know, but even those can get
it's
fucked
up. It's funny because one of your cases was drenched in coffee.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have that case,
thank
I figured it would have been...
The only one
open
that's
it.
Not encased is like bent anyway, so I don't give
but
a shit.
You would have taken it off card. If it was drenched in coffee, you might as well open the
might
figure.
As well peel. Yeah, I mean, this one, this is the Boba Fett. This got quite... oh, no, this is Din Djarin. I got to wash the
cases. So that's where
cases.
You got the other Baby Yoda figure.
Yes, he comes in the
you
package.
Bought a two-pack.
This is they call that a build-up set. I got a bunch of those. I bought up the store.
So I bought a Baby Yoda sing-along card.
I have that coming, too.
It hasn't arrived
it's
yet.
It's pre-order. Yeah, I have that, too. I bought two of those, one to open, one to keep sealed. But if you want one of these, Sean, at $20, I got a few of them.
I told you. The only thing I want is your... This thing is mangled, dusty, ripped.
I got the Imperial officers.
Like,
that one I'm holding on to.
That's the one I want. He won't give me a podcast discount.
No, there's no podcast discount. I'm holding on to that one. And I have some original stuff that I'll unload, like a bunch of these Din Djarins that I bought.
To go from collectibles, we'll talk about some newer shows right now. WandaVision, have you seen it?
Tell us, Sean, I did not watch it yet. I watched, instead, for some reason, I watched Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit?
Yeah, the one where the girl
I'm sure
plays...
your wife didn't influence that
choice at all. The one that plays... Actually, I seen... she wanted to watch the Cambridge Analytica documentary, and I had actually already watched that when it came out, and I was like, no, I don't want to...
It's about chess?
And the Cambridge Analytica one...
No, the...
Queen's Gambit is about chess. It's about the girl that plays chess who's like a, you know, she's like a savant chess player.
So it's like a feminist story.
It's
about...
a feminist story, as they do on Netflix.
But it's funny, because
I call it a feminist story, just the protagonist is a female.
Well, yeah, it's a fantasy,
I believe it's based on a true story, Sean, actually.
Well,
I don't believe that.
When you look at the top... Listen, women are great chess players, but when you look
except for in reality.
When you look at the chess champions of the world, I haven't seen...
I believe she's up there, actually. I believe so.
You know who's the most fascinating chess character is Bobby Fischer. I don't know how familiar you are with him.
Not as familiar with Bobby Fischer. I don't really know too much about the professional chess players.
He's the only man
in the world
that went undefeated in the chess championship. He won, like... I think he won like 9-0 playing chess masters of the world.
Right, right, right.
And he won. It was during the height of the Cold War, and he beat Russia.
Ooh.
And they were the top best players in the world. He
right,
beat somebody
right.
from Russia. So it was a big deal then, because like U.S. versus Russia.
Oh, of course. Like Rocky IV.
And then he was a recluse, like off his mind, went off the grid.
Happens to a lot of those.
And then he eventually got deported because he was saying anti-Semitic comments and all this other stuff.
Was it like the Red Scare because he was a communist? Or what year is this?
The chest, I would say late 60s is when.
That was perfect. Just right around the Red Scare.
There's a movie that came out called Finding Bobby Fischer. It's a chess movie, a little kid. And it's actually a pretty cool movie because it's like he's playing, he's a little boy playing chess in like Washington Square Park.
Sure.
And it's all filmed in like the village.
As they still play there at Washington Square
And there's
Square
a lot
Park.
Of like, it's early 90s movie. There's a lot of big actors that were no ones back then.
Who? Anyone?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Ooh, Larry Fishburne.
William H. Macy's in it.
Like me when William H. Macy.
There's two other guys. That
make me want to watch it. I like them.
It's on Netflix. I recommend it. And
interesting.
You're watching this with Lindsay, your wife, and she's like in a chess.
That's on Netflix?
I believe so. It's on one of the streaming services.
No, take a gander on that. I'm actually interested. But not to diverge, tell us about WandaVision.
All right, so I didn't finish it. I had some friends talking about it. And generally...
How many episodes right now?
I think it was 5. So the 5th episode was a major reveal. And no spoilers, I don't know myself.
All right, yeah, don't spoil.
But
I haven't seen it.
It's an X-Men character that no one ever would have thought.
So it's not Beast.
I don't know who it is. Because I'm trying to power through to get to episode 5.
Sure. Are they an hour long each?
No, about 25 minutes.
Really? Okay, maybe I might be able to bang that out tonight.
I watched the first 2 episodes, and they were fucking terrible.
I heard that it was
very dry. It was like an I Love Lucy lame sitcom, like black and white, trying to be funny.
It is black and white?
The first 2 episodes are, and then they go to color as it progresses. And I'm just like, this sucks. This is not funny. It's boring. And I don't even like Vision to begin with. When Thanos
are some of my lesser favorite characters.
When Thanos killed him in the movie theater, I was cheering.
Good. I'm done with him.
Yeah. And everyone that I was getting dirty looks. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I hate Vision. He's lame.
That's my favorite character in all the graphic novels, you asshole.
Yeah, Wanda is one of the Olsons. She's attractive.
Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen.
In the comics, Scarlet Witch is Magneto's daughter.
That's true.
So everyone's. I'm thinking.
Magneto?
I think Magneto's too bold to fucking appear on a.
You
Disney
mean
Plus.
What's his name? Yeah.
Fassbender.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender. Yeah.
I don't. I think that's too big of a name to appear on a fucking cameo on a Disney Plus show.
Yeah, I mean they've been having. I was thinking that originally too with a lot of the. I'm like, they're getting them all streamed, but a lot of people are doing the streaming shows now.
Well,
a lot of big names are doing.
I think this show is marginal.
But I'm
just powering through to see the reveal.
Yeah, we'll
I heard the reveal's epic. It's been talked about.
We're mildly interested on where WandaVision goes.
What's the newest show that's come out?
Yeah, of like the
Marvel Disney
geek
Plus,
superhero nonsense. Bullshit. I mean, we could talk till we're blue in the face about Mandalorian. We didn't even really go over the ending of Mandalorian. Now it's old news, right?
It's like, oh, it might as well say who, like, you know, Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that Luke was there. But it was good when it happened,
but
Sean.
If you want to discuss a little Mando, there's rumors that, so I hope these rumors are true, that they're just going to erase the sequels that we experienced.
Now, I don't want them to do that, though.
Erase it from canon.
No, that don't make no fucking sense, man.
Garbage.
Yeah, but you know what? So many people say the same thing about the prequels, though. So it's just like, there's people that hate it all. You know what I mean? Just let it, it is what it is. Let it be what it will buzz, and that's it. And just go, and just eat around it, you know?
Nah, just pretend it never happened and start over. I don't need Rey.
Forget
being
about
Superman.
Start,
because
you can't start over, you know?
Easily.
The people are dead, you know what I mean? Like, Carrie Fisher's dead. You're not getting Harrison Ford to come back. So they came back, they did this. There's no going around it.
You put Thrawn in, and we get him.
Yeah, but that Thrawn happens before them anyway, you know. And he would have died, like, even in like any of the Legends canon, he would have been long dead by the time the Force Awakens was a thing.
Well,
anyway.
I
like bringing in Grand Admiral Thrawn and definitely delving into all of the Legends stuff, like of the '90s, Grand Admiral Thrawn, and stuff like that. Definitely do a lot of Grand Admiral Thrawn, you know, because he's one of the, you know, he's one of the most beloved.
He's the hot, awesome villain.
Yeah, and he was obviously mentioned in The Mandalorian, so he exists and he's in there, and they mentioned him in real live action. You know, now you got all the other ones, Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, you know, they're all there, real world.
So do them.
You don't
Filoni
have to
we
kill.
Trust. In Filoni,
Filoni
we trust.
Filoni and Favreau trust, we for sure. But I don't think we need to. I think, like you said, just eat around it, you know. And in the long, long run, you know, just there's plenty of meat on the bone of Star Wars as a, you know. To the Red Letter Media guys, I know Rich Evans was like, Star Wars is what he said, it was a creatively bankrupt. I think maybe like the episode movies are, because those have to kind of be in a linear spot. But I think if you do other things with Star Wars, there's plenty of meat on the bone. So just let what happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It is what it is, whether you liked them or you didn't. You know, like, we're okay in the prequels because we grew up with those. So you're going to have a generation of kids that grew up with the sequel trilogy. And listen, Force Awakens now is going on 6 years.
Have you showed your 2-year-old son any of the movies? What does he think?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's not even 2, so, like, it's hard to grasp a kid's attention. But I'll show him, like, the opening scene to Star Wars of the two ships, A New Hope, you know, the two ships, and then the choo-choo, and then I give him Stormtroopers, and he goes, so I'm thinking he's getting it, you know? I'm like, oh, you're getting it. He was playing with the X-Wing fighter the other day.
I think Clone Wars Rebels, that's more up
Yeah, true, you know, I could show him some of that shit, you know?
I think he'd probably appreciate them more.
But again, he's still very young for that kind of stuff, so.
True. Yeah. I remember my uncle showing me Star Wars. I was probably 6, 7.
Yeah, that was pretty much my first forays, original forays in Star Wars. My first figure was that original Chewbacca. It was a hand-me-down. But as a 5-year-old, I'm looking at it. I'm like, what's this monkey man? I was like, is this from Planet of the Apes? I guess I knew as a 5-year-old what Planet of the Apes was.
They were on cable and stuff. I remember the Sci-Fi Channel. Planet of the Apes a lot.
Yeah, they had like a Planet of the Apes show, Journey to the Planet of the Apes.
I don't remember the show, but
there was a lot of Planet of the Apes content out there. And
there was
from the, you know, well,
5 or 6 movies from the original run.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
the first,
you know,
one's like a cult classic.
Well, of course. And it's just
Charlton
Heston. Yeah, it's a
science
fiction.
Dirty ape, you know.
Yeah, you get your paws off me, you dirty ape. You maniacs! No, it's classic. But
Dr. Zaius.
Yeah. But those, I at least knew what that was at age 5, because I was like, is this a Planet of the Apes figure? Because I knew it was an old figure. It was hand-me-down from my older
cousins.
It looked like
a kind of ape monkey.
Yeah, he's got the bandolier. I just figured it was a Planet of the Apes. You know, I figured it was a Planet of the Apes figure. And then I realized, like, shortly after, oh, these are the original Star Wars figures. But then the 95 figures came out, and I just went with those.
Big,
you know,
value figures are like late 70 movies that failed.
Sure.
Worth.
Oh, I'm sure. If there was limited productions, you got one in mind.
So Lord of the Rings animated movies.
Oh yeah, they did the animated show.
Fortunes.
The animated movie of The Hobbit. Yeah.
And there's some other figures that are worth money too. Like, there's Indiana Jones figures.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's like just a horse, and
yeah,
it's worth like,
yeah,
horse on cards probably like $10,000.
Forget it. Yeah, because the problem with those was that first of all, they were limited production because...
And it was, people didn't like them. So
Well, they were a good line, though. It's just that it was... A lot of it was that kids would go in the aisles and there'd be no indie. So a kid's not going to buy Marion and a Nazi.
Yeah,
they want indie.
I don't
indie,
think they
first
had
of all.
Nazi figures, but...
I think he might have. There might have been a Nazi guy.
But that's like the failed lines.
Sean's going to army build Nazi figures from the Indiana Jones line.
The failed lines are what's so much worth.
Of course,
so much.
Because they're in limited production.
Limited production. No one bought them in stores. They got yanked from shelves.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the droids figure that was made in fucking Bolivia.
Black on card. Brazil.
Brazil.
It's the Holy Grail. It's the Black Lotus of Star Wars figures.
Which is what I would call rocket firing Boba Fett, the Black Lotus.
But that was never... That was like you had to steal them from the fucking Kenner factory.
True. There's only 11 produced.
This is actually, you could have physically bought this in a store.
Yeah, but not in America, though.
Well, you went to Brazil.
Come on.
In the early 80s with the hunt and looking for toy stores, you could have found one.
So that's why, like, you have like the blue Snaggletooth. That's a little more.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings vintage figures are worth fortune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, like, very limited production. Especially, I'm sure, if they were on card.
See, like, we go to Comic-Con, which we're planning on doing, hopefully.
You heard it here first.
2021
COVID.
Comic-Con.
We're going to COVID Con.
2021 Comic Con. It's scheduled to be this. Scheduling to do it, and we're gonna be there.
Yeah.
You'll see one of those figures pop up at those big conventions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. And behind glass and a
glass lock and
yeah,
key.
Lock and key.
And he's like
security
guards. $25,000. And you'll see people be like, "I'll give you 18 for it."
Right.
Know? They're commodities in the collectible.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, the stuff like that is, you know, super legit. And that's like the final 17 of the Star Wars figures, like EV-99 from, you know, which we have need for you at the Master Sales Barge, and I think you'll fit in nicely. That droid, you know, he's worth a lot. He's like 400 off card. You know, because they were limited production. The final 17 figures were limited, and there was with the original Power of the Force figures with the little coin that came with them. So, yeah, I mean, we could go talk about figures until we're blue in the face, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as you can see. But I'm very excited about my original little set there. It does look nice, though.
No, I enjoy it. It's a very cool piece.
Yeah.
Thank cool God piece. We didn't drench in coffee and beer, because it was very close.
Really close to getting drenched in coffee and beer. But, it's almost shocking that it
and
didn't.
And then you were like, oh, where's the accessories?
Because like, the guns went everywhere. And those are, like, some of them are really expensive. Princess Leia's gun is like $75 alone, you know? I actually just, it didn't come with the set. I had to buy those separately.
The studio.
The original. The
retro
anyway,
case
not the
studios aren't the most, cleanest.
Well, there's a lot of there's
a little
lot of
clutter here.
A lot
so
of equipment around,
it's
boxes.
Easy to lose a tiny fucking accessory.
They clogged the instruments. Meanwhile, like the computer was like coffee all over it, and like I'm like not even give a fuck about it.
Right.
We're actually really lucky it didn't get destroyed.
Yeah, I'm surprised we even got the technology to fire.
I was
off.
Pretty sure that because the USB cable got all bent, and I was pretty sure that this wasn't even going to happen tonight. But we got lucky there. So to divulge, let's finish it up with Wonder Woman 1999. What'd you think, Sean?
I thought it was absolutely horrible. I didn't finish the movie.
You didn't finish it.
So it's about a 2-hour movie.
That movie
minutes.
Was fucking bloated.
I made to about 50 minutes in, and I said, this sucks.
Why did
I
that...
I fell asleep, actually. And when I woke up...
It took
up...
me three times... Because it's on HBO Plus. So it took me three times to get through it. Because it was just dragging.
I envy you that
I'm
you had the
50
patience.
Minutes in, an hour and a half
did
in.
Did you
like,
want to watch it, your wife? Or
I wanted to see it. I like the first one. It's
I
a
like,
movie to talk about on the cast.
First one's great. I think Gal Gadot is easy to look at. Everyone enjoys it. And then... You're like, all right, Wonder Woman, what could go wrong? The first one was great.
What could go wrong?
She was awesome in Justice League in her cameos.
Yeah.
So you're like, likable character, for a lot of premise, and it just... And the 80s is another thing. We love the 80s.
Love the 80s. That like, I feel like, though, that kind of gimmick is really getting stale. You know what
well,
I mean?
If you do it like that, fucking...
It felt stale
of,
there, but like I like that it was like Walden books in the 80s.
There was question marks, right? They have this precious, invaluable
precious
artifact.
Venus.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like having the Holy Grail or you know some crazy Ark of the Covenant type artifact, and it's in a shopping mall. Like,
where else would you keep it, Sean?
Fuck. And just like this guy's, he's. Like
who the Mandalorian?
A witch,
Pedro Pascal.
He becomes a fucking genie.
Everybody's wishes.
It's such a stupid fucking premise.
Yeah, the premise was whack. Honestly, that's not even the worst offense for me. The worst offense is its length. It's way too fucking bloated. At two opening scenes, it has the one in the beginning where she's in Amazon land and she's like learning her lesson as a little girl.
See, that was cool. I'm like, all right.
That needed to be cut short though. It either needed to be half the length or they got to cut out the opening scene with her, you know, wrangling up the guys in the mall. She was like, you know, she's like the bank robbers in the mall or whatever. And she, you know, she like wrangles them. And it was like, those were two opening scenes.
If you're going to rob a mall, you can do it during the day when it's maximum crime.
Yeah, like
5 million witnesses.
They're sticking up the Walden books. I mean, what is going on?
If you're going to rob a mall, you rob it at 3 a.m.
As much as
I
like the aesthetic of that scene because 80s gimmicks,
Walden
books and fucking Radio Shack.
I miss Walden books.
Yeah, it was fun. Those are fun little comic books.
Man,
25
years ago being Walden books.
Had a good time there.
Give anything to get back.
Yeah, but so that aesthetic was nice, but the whole like I was tired with it. I was like, and you know, and then you look at it, I'm like, 25 minutes these for two opening scenes.
Also, the
bloat, man. The movie was
Chris Pine.
Yeah, he was useless. What it, he brought him back for no reason.
And made no sense. And he was like another person, and it was
that
confusing.
Was poorly done because why did he? Because it makes you be like, well, whatever happened to that other person? He did that guy just die? Right? Because it was right. They just took that guy's body.
His character was just
should have just made him appear out of nowhere if that was the case. But
I was
him,
confused.
Yeah,
I also was off putted. Like, why is he back?
Also, his ending. She just was like, okay, kiss, and then got, and like, okay, so we're done with Chris Pine. Not like he disappeared or faded into
she
the...
She like
the
break obscurity. Up with him after raising him from the dead?
Yeah, she just kissed him and then walked. Oh, you didn't get to that part.
I fell asleep and then I was like...
It was like the whole world's in mayhem.
Should I watch the second half? I said,
she's got to save the world and then she just kisses him and like walks away and he's out of the screen. But it's like, you'd think it would like, he would kind of like disappear or something.
That was her love
she's
interest.
Like, oh, so Chris Pine's gone now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this movie's supposed to be like, woman empowerment. I don't need no man. And meanwhile, the whole movie, but I need Chris Pine the whole movie, you know? So
it's
like
a great Israeli accent. Yeah. Really,
that is my
really believable
Israeli accent. So there's that. And then, Kristen Wiig is like the bad guy.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Kristen Wiig for making her debut as a bad guy.
I was surprised. You mentioned earlier to me how old she was.
She's 75. She's 47.
She's actually going to be in the Golden Girls reboot.
She's going to be Blanche or Bea Arthur from this holiday special. Honestly, she looks great for 47. She looks very good. Obviously, she was working out.
I thought she would be 40.
Yeah.
So.
You thought she was 40? But then how old would she have been in the movie Bridesmaids? This is 10 years old, you know?
30.
She would have been 22? Maybe, but no, she was older than 30 then. But yeah, she's 47. She must have been late 30s during that movie. But honestly, she looks very good. She looked very good in the movie. She was good until she became like a character was okay until she became Cheetah.
She was like goofy.
Oh, I'm goofy. Fuck up. Oh, and I envy you, and I want your powers. You know,
just a lot of it. Such a bad movie. A
lot of it was tired.
I was disappointed because Wonder
Pedro Pascal being like greasy car salesman.
Yeah, he was like, oh, let me be a Donald Trump character.
Yeah, a very Donald Trump esque. You know, at the end, of course, because he's. Did you get to the part where he's? He's behind like the he gets to the he's in that president's thing and he's like everyone will get wishes and but he's like he gets to like NORAD or something and there's like a like an emergency president's seal, you know, where like a president would do a speech on TV and he's on TV and like doing his speech behind the president thing and his hair is a little blonde. It's like you're obviously doing
it's
the Trump.
It's funny because he's so great, Mandalorian.
Yeah,
he was such a buffoon in this movie.
Just direction and writing. A lot of the writing.
He's just like paycheck.
Paycheck. How much? Seven figures.
All
right. So Patty Jenkins wrote this movie as well as directed
fired.
It. She should just have directed it. Maybe I don't know.
She should be. Her and Kathleen Kennedy should be assassinated.
But we'll have 21 gun salute or. But my main problem I think really was that it was bloated. If you cut out like. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, because that movie's almost 2.5 hours.
Well, if you look now, there's a big re-edit with Justice League, the Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty excited for that. It's 4 hours long, by the way.
Oh, that's exactly what I want to fucking hear.
But Jared Leto just released images of him. Jared Leto Joker is re-emerging.
Okay, they're bringing him back. Yeah, 2 hours, 35 minutes for this movie. You need to cut. You need to cut 35, 40 minutes out of this thing. And then it's probably a lot more watchable.
This is also a thing where I think it's
way
a trend
too
that
much
we're going to see. There's a trend that we're going
to
see.
Tell us about this trend.
Releasing straight to HBO Max, the studios don't give a fuck anymore.
About length. Yeah, but that's a problem.
So they're not going to edit and cut. They're
but that's
be
a
like,
problem artistically because if you just give us bloated schlock that we don't want to see, I'm
but
not going to go for HBO
movie
Plus.
Theaters,
unless you give me the option like extended cut, regular cut. But even then, it's like, all right, what are we doing here?
When it goes straight to streaming, the integrity of the movies are going to suffer.
Possibly.
And this was like the big blockbuster that went straight to streaming. The first
way
one,
too
and
much
it was
blood.
Fucking garbage.
Like, I get it. You're doing the big blockbuster thing, but... This is not like you don't. It's not a Civil War or Endgame. Like you don't. It's not Star Wars. This is Wonder Woman 2.
This is my question. Warner Brothers, right?
It doesn't need to be 2 hours, 35 minutes. This movie, you know.
This is my question.
It's a Wonder Woman movie. It's not. You know what I mean? Especially when the material that you're dealing with, the source material, is a little goofy itself, a little weak. The Cheetah, you know what I mean? Max Power, Max Payne, whatever the fuck his name is. It's
like
goofy.
Max Payne was a video game for some reason.
It was, right?
And then, it was like a PlayStation 2.
And Max Power was Homer Simpson's name that he chose. He got it off an air dryer. Austin Powers.
It was Screech Powers from Saved by the Bell.
God rest his soul. He passed away. We're going to shout out to Dustin Diamond on this one.
Rest in peace, Dustin Diamond. There you go.
Yeah.
That was another relevant nerd celebrity death.
His name was Maxwell Lord. Max Lord.
Powers Lord. There you go.
It's all the same.
My question is Warner Bros. Is like, yeah, we're doing HBO. I'm sure they gave them an absurd amount of money. You think they're going to put Batman on streaming? That's like their biggest movie in the last 5 years. You think they're going to put that on? I don't think that's a streaming movie.
I don't think they want to, but if they have to, they will. But
I think
you're going to put that on HBO Plus for a movie that costs $200 million to make?
They also delay it a year. I think they delay it a year to release
to
in
release
theaters.
In theaters. Well, when do our theaters open, Sean? Can we get a fucking answer on that? We're waiting.
We're
waiting
Staten
Gavin
Island.
Newsom.
Fuck, who knows?
We're waiting Andrew Cuomo. So, yeah. But long story short, Sean did not like Wonder Woman 2. So you're giving
terrible.
Us a thumbs up or thumbs down?
I give it a 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. I'm gonna give it a 5 out of 10.
So
we're going out of 10 now? 50%? Yeah, I didn't horrifically hate it, but totally agree with you. I fell asleep. But I agree with that. It took me 3 times to get through
it. I fell asleep, and then when I woke up, I said, I don't want to watch the other half, and I said, forget this movie.
Isn't that maybe another problem with the cinematic experience when it comes to like streaming? You know, you just tune out. You're busy, like you're on your phone.
Yeah, you're
in the other room.
Around.
You're
and
fucking
like, oh,
hanging out.
Let me
out.
Grab a sandwich. Great,
you're
to
in
the
refrigerator. You get to get a piss.
Oh, I gotta make a phone call.
Right,
and
you're
then, kind
of at in
the
where
movie theater. I'm like,
yeah,
this is it.
Yeah, I don't like to take bathroom breaks unless it's an emergency. You know what I mean? Like,
no, well, you brought up a good point. When you're washing at home, you get distracted.
Yeah,
and it's not the same experience.
It's not at all the same experience. You know. And I get it. Like, money is a factor here and all that. But the experience, the cinema experience is completely different. And just to watch tentpole movies that I want to see in theaters like that. Because I'm not somebody who goes to the theater for no reason. I watch movies that I want to watch. Like, oh, that's a movie I want to see.
For example.
And it's an event, you know.
Another movie that I watch.
Kind of don't want to make these events. Like, I get it. It's convenient. And Gen Z is going to love it, I guess. So let's just stay in our bed and watch Netflix, you know, watch this new movie.
Well, but, Gen Z, they can't fucking do shit.
They need instructions on how to wipe their asses.
That's why they like TikTok, because it's like 2-minute videos, because that's their attention span.
You're going to, all our Gen Z subscribers are unsubscribed, downvote.
They saw the word retro and they already canceled us.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's true. We don't have many Gen Z subscribers due to the name retro.
But I remember, for example, The Irishman, I fell asleep, and I'm like, I got to see what happens, and I continued to watch it.
Well, and Irishman was 3.5, 4 hours of. I watched it twice, 2 days in a row, because I need. It came out pretty much on Thanksgiving, like 2018.
I feel like it's big up your 2018. Dad, like your parents' wheelhouse too.
Oh yeah, my dad. Yeah, my daddy already. We you know a lot of the lines are already in the zeitgeist. You know, a lot of the lines from the movie. You know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
That's Phil Mondello Sr. written all over.
Well, it's another Scorsese. For me, it was an instant classic, Irishman. You know, it was just another one up there with Casino and Goodfellas.
I like Jimmy Hoffa and the whole lore. He was like the big Detroit figure and the unions and everything else.
America stops. He like lines like that.
He's
you
fighting
know.
The Kennedys. There's
yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of...
Yeah, yeah I mean, Mr. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy.
We're not reviewing The Irishman.
No, we're not. We already reviewed Irishman years ago.
I'm just giving the example that I fell asleep, but I'm like, I want
to
see.
But you
this
wanted
goes.
To come back, yeah.
I wonder when I fell asleep, and I'm like,
yeah.
This sucks. And
I'm
done.
I'm totally in with you. A lot of that though had to do with that movie's bloat. You might have been more interested had it not been 2.5 hours, like, because it's there's so much in between where you're just like, where are we going here?
But
like,
if
we
that
don't...
was theaters, they would have cut it to 2. Easy.
Should have been. It should have been 2. It should have been 120 minutes, not 150 minutes. It doesn't need to be 155 minutes. Like, all right, we need, and then you know, it gets goofy at the end with her with. Kristen Wiig becoming a cheetah out of nowhere. She's a cheetah. She makes like little reference to it earlier on. What's his name doing the Maxwell Lord doing the Donald Trump thing?
The characters
a little on
were
the nose.
Stupid. The plot was stupid.
Yeah.
Chris Pine was
unnecessary.
Weird.
And,
like
yeah.
He was
the whole resurrection of him is odd and makes you feel uncomfortable because like he just morphed into like what happened to the guy that he morphed from? Is he dead? You know the
and
whole.
I was confusing. I was
and
off
it's confusing.
But...
It's a little contrived.
So, Wonder Woman was a dud.
Spoilers?
It was a dud.
I'm assuming you're not going to watch it if you haven't seen it already. It's been out for like a month.
It was a dud.
Yeah, it's a dud. It's a no for me. Save your time. Save your
I
HBO
think it's getting
Plus
off
money.
HBO anyway. It's
yeah.
only like a 1 month.
Oh, 1 month thing. And then they're what? They're going to put it to Blu-ray? Where are they going to put it?
They're going to make a lot of sales on that.
Yeah. Who's fucking buying that Blu-ray? Is there an extended cut on the Blu-ray?
I wouldn't give that
scenes?
To like my enemy.
Nah.
If I saw what I didn't like, I'd be like, here you go.
I didn't hate it as much as Sean.
I despise.
I think there's some things.
I love 80s charm. And I was
right,
excited
right,
for this movie.
Right. There was some 80s
and
charm.
And it blew the 80s charm.
I just
Walden
like,
Books.
Well, I think that the theme, the plot of the movie kind of lames it out because you're kind of like, oh, this plot sucks, you know. So you're not enjoying maybe the 80s kind of. Aesthetic as much as maybe you would, and like you say, I like the 80s aesthetic maybe in the movie Pixels. Even that movie was horrible. Well, or weak.
I didn't watch Pixels.
Well,
I know it was like a Pac-Man kind of.
Yeah, another
big monster. Thing.
Adam Sandler stinker. Nothing too great.
Wow,
about
Adam
it.
Sandler's that's a shocker.
What Adam Sandler putting out a bad movie?
No,
no.
I can't believe.
No, that's not it. But yes, that's pretty much it. Anything else that we should go over on this episode?
I think we need to do a Retrocade road trip.
Oh, we're definitely doing a Retrocade road trip.
We're
gonna put a real date on it soon too,
because they're gonna
show us a Kmart and a VHS video store.
If we have a live Kmart, and majors, we kind of have to go.
We'll set a Sunday aside for it. It's gonna
6 months. What's the thing? You put it aside.
It's done. That's what happened. The Kmart, the big K, in Long Branch, New Jersey. I would drive past
every
time.
It was on our list. We discussed going to this like 2 months ago.
Shuttered. K is gone.
Holidays, we were busy, and then.
Yeah, I mean, the months go by.
We dropped the ball.
The Kmart is shuttered, but we'll be working on it. We'll come out with a new episode coming soon. Springtime's coming up. We got nothing but snowstorms here in New York, but that's it for this week, everybody. Enjoy yourselves and keep watching the stars.